You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy New Year, Locked On Jets podcast. Thursday, March 14th, 2019. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. The new league year for the NFL is officially underway. It started at 4 p.m. New York time yesterday. Nothing really happening in Times Square. You know, they don't drop the ball in Times Square. It's anticlimactic, really. And in the days of the legal tampering period, where teams are allowed to talk to free agents before the start of the new league year, and teams are allowed to negotiate deals, and teams are not supposed to agree to terms with players, but they do anyway. So in this day and age, the start of the new league year really loses a lot of its meaning. Gone are the days where you have coaches and general managers sitting in a car and staked out outside some player's home waiting for the clock to strike midnight. Years ago, the league year began at midnight, officially, you know, once the day came. Now it starts around 4 p.m. So, you know, not as big of a deal as it used to be. I guess it does kind of matter. I think the Anthony Barr situation shows us that the start of the new league year does matter from the standpoint that you cannot officially sign a contract until the new league year starts with a free agent from another team. Now, you can still re-sign your own players because you retain exclusive rights to sign your own players up to the start of the new league year, but you cannot have the guy officially sign the contract, actually put pen to paper, until the new league year begins. The Anthony Barr situation shows you that it's not totally meaningless, but it's lost a lot of its meaning. I mean, the new date in time is the start of the legal tampering period. That's the new significant date in the NFL. So a lot of the big free agents are already off the board, and we have a much less exciting show today than we did yesterday, where we had a lot of big Jets free agent news to break down. Things are starting to slow down a little bit on that front, on the free agency front. And we'll talk. There were some happenings. We'll talk about them today. We're not doing a mailbag today because we are in the middle of the free agency period with so much news happening. Usually we do a Thursday mailbag show on this podcast, but given everything that's happening, I think this is a week where we're not going to be able to do a Thursday mailbag. There were some moves that were made, and we're entering actually what I think is kind of an important time in free agency because the first wave is starting to die down. The top of the market is largely gone. There are some still. It's not totally gone. You know, the top. There are still some top players who are out there who are looking for deals, but a lot of the top players are gone now. So now we're starting to move into that second wave of free agency, which I think is pretty important because the teams that win free agency are typically not the teams that give out the big money deals, which, you know, is probably not something you want to hear because Jets are giving out a lot of big money deals. And that shows, and I mean, I think it's really tough to build your team through free agency the way the Jets are going to try and do this year. But the teams that typically win free agency are not the teams spending the most money. They're the teams that find the value deals, and the value deals don't happen until now. And they tend to happen. That's when you get a good player who doesn't cost you very much, and that can happen for any number of reasons. It could happen because player was coming off a bad year. Could happen because the player is in a system with a coaching staff who doesn't really know how to utilize his skill set. It could happen because the guy's coming off an injury. Could just happen because the guy overplays his hand and, you know, doesn't realize what the market's going to be for him. You know, it could be just the guy's looking for a deal that's too big. Meanwhile, all the teams that were interested in him find alternatives. You know, the corner who demands too much money, and all the corner needy teams just sign somebody else, so there's no market for him, and then suddenly he has to take a far lesser deal, a one-year deal somewhere else. Those are the things that those are the types of guys who are available at this time of year, and those are the types of guys who, end up being a pretty good value. You know, you always hear, I always say that, you know, divisional weekend, you're watching a playoff game on NBC, and Chris Collinsworth raves about how did they get this guy on this contract? That's unbelievable. It seems like it happens every year. So this is an important time of year, I think. And I think it's an important time for the Jets because Jets just need so much. And, you know, you look at what the Jets have done in free agency, and I think this is what I was expecting, that the Jets were going to make so many moves in free agency that there would be some moves that I think would be quite good on paper. There are other moves that I think would be okay and other moves I really don't like. And that's pretty much been the way it's played out. There have been some moves that I think are pretty good, some that I think, you know, are not great, not terrible, and others that I just don't agree with. But you look at where the Jets are right now, and Jets have spent, you know, we don't know exactly how much cap space the Jets have right now, but it looks like they've probably spent over half of their cap savings. You look at what they've done, and now they've definitely bolstered the weapons around Sam Darnold. The Le'Veon Bell addition should help with that. You know, you're rolling the dice a little bit with Bell, but they added a premium playmaker around Sam Darnold. But I look at some of the other things that I wanted them to address. Offensive line still very shaky. Osemele, good trade on paper, but what are they doing? They've only upgraded one spot on an offensive line that was bad last year. So that's, you know, a concern. You look at the defensive side of the ball right now. You've got no pass rushers. You've got zero corners. I mean, there are zero pass rushers, I think, who are effective on this team right now, guys you can count on. And I trust zero of the corners on this team, which you've got to either be able to get after. Ideally, you can do both, but you got to either be able to get after the quarterback or you got to be able to cover. If you can't get after the quarterback, that means you got to blitz more. If you're going to blitz more, that means you got to have corners who can cover. And Jets don't have that right now. So my point being, this is an important time because this is where the Jets have to find the value players who can maybe help them out at some of the positions they have not addressed yet. So that's what I have my eye on. But there were some moves to talk about from Tuesday, and that's what we'll. I'm sorry, from Wednesday. Obviously Tuesday. Tuesday was the day they signed Bell, but we'll talk about some of these moves, some of the moves that happened on Wednesday, coming up ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast. We are here today on the first full day of the NFL's 2019 league year. There was some free agent developments yesterday for the Jets. For a team with this much cap space, you'd be surprised that the Jets actually lost key contributors, but they actually lost a pair of Pro Bowlers yesterday. Two guys who made the Pro Bowl for the Jets last year, two of their three Pro Bowlers last year left the team, but it's not as big of a deal as that phrase makes it sound. Jason Myers, the kicker, ends up signing in Seattle on a four-year, $16 million deal, and the kick returner and punt returner Andre Roberts leaves to Buffalo, so Andre Roberts stays in the division. And here's what I'll tell you is, look, I understand if you're upset about this because those two guys played really well last year, but I understand that this is going to be a bit of a controversial take. I can't get mad at the Jets for letting these guys go. You look at both, and it's got nothing to do with how these guys played last. Again, they were Pro Bowlers, and they both deserve to be in the Pro Bowl. But I can't get mad at the Jets for letting either guy go, especially you look at Myers, $16 million, $4 million a year for a kicker. Here's the thing about Myers is the Jets found him off the scrap heap in August, and nobody really wanted him to be the kicker. I mean, a lot of people, including myself, viewed him as just a placeholder until the Jets found an upgrade. They pretty much viewed him as the guy who was going to kick the last game in preseason, and then the Jets would find a better kicker who got cut somewhere else. I mean, here's what I'll tell you about Myers. Myers lost a kicking battle in camp last year in Seattle, comes to the Jets. Seattle then brings him back on a $4 million contract. The guy that they just cut last summer. Kicking performance fluctuates wildly from year to year. You look at when the Jets brought Myers in, he was a mediocre kicker. Does one season really change that? Was it just a hot streak? Has Myers become the NFL's next great kicker? Or was he just a guy who was kind of up and down, who went on a hot streak? And listen, I appreciate what he did for the team. I'm not trying to diminish what he did for the team, because he was one of the, now, I mean, also because the team was bad, they were 4-12, but he was one of the best players on the team last year. here's the thing, and I just go back, I look back at recent Jets history, is what's happened over the last decade. Well, I remember 10 years ago, or not, I'm sorry, 9 years ago, the Jets had Jay Feely. Feely had, you know, was reasonably productive, you know, pretty good kicker. Jets let him go, and people went crazy. They brought in a scrap heap kicker who was coming off a terrible year. That kicker was Nick Folk. Nick Folk stayed with the Jets for a long time. People predicted doom when the Jets let Feely go, and they brought in Folk. They were fine. Folk made some clutch kicks for the Jets. He was honestly probably overrated. He did a decent job with the Jets for a long time, made some clutch kicks, but fan base probably overrated him because Jets let him go a couple years ago. They brought in a kicker coming off a bad year, off the scrap heap, Chandler Cantizero, who had a terrible year with Arizona. People predicted doom. Cantizero comes in, does a credible job in 2017. It's easy to find. I mean, there's always, if you look every single year, you get in season, and one of the most accurate kickers in league history is available. And here's the thing you have to remember. There are more than 32 human beings on the planet Earth who can competently place kick in the NFL. So that means the supply is on your side. So that means unless you have, and I think, I'm getting to the point where I used to say there were like five kickers I'd pay a premium to. I think we're getting to the point where Justin Tucker might be the only kicker I'd pay a premium to, a guy who's just automatic. I think all the other guys are just, very interchangeable. You have guys who have good years, guys who have bad years, because the sample size is so small. A couple kicks here or there, one kick a month can be the difference between being a great kicker and an average kicker, making or missing one kick a month. I mean, that could be the difference. You know, and let me just ask the Chicago Bears. You know what's funny is that whenever I see people arguing to keep Myers, they say, and I've seen this, I see this everywhere. I see it Twitter, I see it everywhere. People say, just ask the Chicago Bears how important the kicker position is. And I ask, my response is, do you know what the Chicago Bears did last year? What the Chicago Bears did last year was they went out and signed Cody Parkey. Cody Parkey had a 2017 where he made around 90% of his kicks. They went out and gave Cody Parkey a 4-year, $15 million deal. Cody Parkey went out there, cost them a playoff game, was not good during the season, missed the kick that ended their season. So if the Chicago Bears are our model, the lesson the Chicago Bears teach us is not that you need to go out and pay kickers big money. The lesson the Chicago Bears teach us is that when you overreact to one season for a kicker and give a guy a big contract, you may end up paying for it because the guy who stinks might be the guy you signed. I just think Myers was a prime regression candidate. Thank him for his service to the Jets. What the Jets need to do is go out and find the next Myers because there's always a kicker available on the scrap. They got this guy off the scrap heap. They got Chandler Cantizero off the scrap heap. They got Nick Folk off the scrap heap. Even if you go back to Feely, they got Jay Feely back in 10 years ago when Mike Nugent got hurt in season. They found Jay Feely, who was a competent kicker, got him off the scrap heap. You can find kickers off the scrap. This is not, and when I say this is not the same thing like when people say, well, Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. Okay, you're not going to find a Hall of Fame quarterback in the sixth round very often, but you will find a competent kicker off the scrap heap pretty often. And, you know, almost the same thing goes for Roberts. Roberts is a little different because, and from the standpoint he's older, he's coming off a career year that was, where he produced well above his averages. Guy who I think there's little doubt. I think Myers, there's a small chance something may have clicked for him. He may just be a great kicker. I don't think there's any chance Roberts has become a great return man. He's a guy who's been, you know, kind of okay through his career and then had this big year. And I think he's, again, prime regression candidate, prime candidate to not produce as much as he did a year ago. Because this is so, when a guy's 30 and has a career year and produces far above the production of the rest of his career, odds are very high he's going to come back to earth. So instead of just paying Roberts for his career year, you find the next Roberts. You find the next guy who's going to go out and produce. And you find the next guy off the scrap. And again, the return position, especially the way the league is moving, the kickoff returns are becoming less and less important because they're happening less and less. You know, the league is trying to phase out the kickoff return. So the return game is becoming less important than it used to be. And I mean, the other thing is this. The Jets brought back their special teams coordinator, Brant Boyer. The Jets have talked plenty about how great they think the special teams coach is. Well, if he's that great, then that should be an advantage to you. That means you should be able to let contributors walk away because you've got the coach who can make it work. That's what coaching does. Coaching helps you make it work when you lose a key player. It helps you develop a new player. I mean, remember Mike West, those of you who've been fans long enough, you may remember Mike Westhoff, the legendary special teams coach, how the Jets just kept losing return man after return man, and they stayed at the top of the league. They just found a new top return man when they, you know, Justin Miller, Chad Morton, Justin Miller, Leon Washington, Brad Smith, Joe McKnight. They just kept replacing guys. So, you know, if Boyer's as good of a coach as they make him out to be, Jets should be able to replace Andre Robertson. I get if you're angry, and I understand this is a controversial take, but I just think that these are not guys I'd really pay a lot to because their skill sets are replaceable. They're probably going to regress. And I think the money could be better spent elsewhere on higher impact positions. A free agency Thursday edition of the Locked On Jets podcast talking about the first Wednesday of the new league year, the first day of the new league year. Now, today's the first full day, the first 24-hour day of the new league year. The new league year started 4 o'clock p.m. New York time yesterday. Jets made a small signing. They bring back Neville Hewitt, the linebacker, the backup linebacker, and more significantly, the special teamer. We'll see the money on. I'm hoping it's not much money. I mean, this is not really any. He does not have any skills I would pay a lot for. He got 4 starts last year at the end of the year when Darren Lee was suspended. He'll now slide back into a backup role this year and play special teams. He was the Jets' leading special team tackler, according to my calculations. I mean, you have to get a little creative with the websites you use. He's one of those guys, he's kind of right at that cusp of young player and old player. See, like for me, special teamers should be guys who are young, who have upside, who you develop, because you can develop special teamers. You can develop young special teamers. He's going to be 26 this season. That's kind of right at the cusp where I feel like you're not young, where you kind of are who you are. So I think we'll see what the money is. I don't think if the money's not crazy, it's not a terrible decision. But obviously not a very exciting move, not a move that's going to do a whole lot to move the needle for this team again. As long as he's cheap, and you know if he gets outplayed by somebody with more upside in preseason, you can cut him. Then that's fine. That's not really going to be a move that's going to impact the season very much, I would expect. In other news, the other news is at the corner position, where some of the financials on the Darryl Roberts contract are out, suggest it's a 3-year, $18 million deal, which is an awfully big sum of money for a guy like Darryl Roberts, who really does not have much of a track record of success in the NFL. And I have to admit, maybe there's something I don't see, because it seems like there are a lot of people out there who like Roberts. You know, there are a lot of people out there who think the guy's pretty solid. I mean, I'm not sure I see that. I mean, this is a guy he's going to be 29 years old in November. Near the end of November, he's going to be 29 years old. So it's not like this is a guy with youth on his side. You know, I'll tell you another guy who's going to be 29, who's 29, is Trumaine Johnson. Trumaine Johnson's obviously not a young quarterback. Trumaine Johnson may be at the age where you wonder, is it over for him? And Roberts is almost as old. Trumaine Johnson's less than a year older than Roberts. And I mean, it's not so much the money. We have to see. The thing with the Roberts deal is, how's it structured? I mean, is it a case where it's like $2 million the first year, $4 million the second year, and then a big contract the year after that, the last year, a big salary the year after that where you can cut him? Okay, well, if it's that, then maybe a difference in it. What bugs me about that more than the money is just the idea that Roberts is penciled in as a starter, which to me is not a great idea. Like, I mean, I don't, maybe there's something I'm missing, because it seems like people are happy with him, but if you're going to run a blitz heavy defense and attack heavy defense with Greg Williams and leave your corners on islands, right now you got Trumaine Johnson, who, you know, maybe finished, you and Roberts, that's the group you want to have cover receivers one-on-one for the opposition constantly. That's tough for me to get behind. I'm hoping that there's something I'm not seeing here. Maybe it's just that the deal is not as big as it looks initially. Maybe it's structured in a better way. I am hoping that this is not a sign the Jets are banking on Roberts to be a starter. I think that might be something that they come to regret if so. And then also the Jets are bringing in a free agent for a visit, a free agent from Atlanta, Mr. Poole. Brian Poole, who, I mean, is a slot guy. I don't think a guy who really would help the team all that much, a guy who's weakness is coverage. You know, if you hear that the guy's a pretty good blitzer, well, at corner, I'd rather have a guy who can play coverage. I'm not sure I want a blitzer at corner. I want a guy who can cover, and his weakness seems to be coverage. Guy whose numbers have not been great in coverage. And I'll tell you, this is a guy who was a restricted free agent who the Falcons easily could have retained on a 1-year deal, because restricted free agents, you can get them back on cheap 1-year deals typically. And they decided to just let him go. They did not offer him a contract, which meant he became an unrestricted free agent. So I'd like to see the Jets go in a different direction there. This is not a guy who I think helps. The Jets need to address corner somehow. I'm not sure this is a guy who really is going to help them out all that much. I think I'd like to see them go in a different direction than Roberts and Poole at corner. That's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great Thursday, everybody, and we will be back again tomorrow to close out the week.